Somar Mix. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewed Up Podcast. Unfortunately, this thing is here again.
I try every week,
guys, to just not pick him up, but unfortunately, he has some sort of VIP. Yeah, he, whatever, dude.
He's the money bag.
But anyways, guys, welcome back. For this week on the podcast, we got something little something for you that you're going to enjoy, because there's a little, not little anymore. It's huge.
Nope.
I think it's the 10th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, of South Texas Comic-Con.
Dude, 10 years, dude.
10 years of that.
What was happening before 10 years?
I don't know. It's not important.
Who the hell knows? It does not matter.
Exactly. Does not matter what happened. It's ten years now.
And it keeps getting bigger.
It keeps getting bigger, dude. Yep. Yeah. We're talking about Comic-Con. The Comic-Con, yes, it keeps getting bigger. But today in the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, we have the man himself, Ramsey.
What's going on, Ramsey?
Hello.
What I like to call the Stan Lee of the Valley, bro, because this guy brings on so many freaking awesome people.
I just call him Ramsey.
I call Stan, little Stan Lee, bro. Little Stan Lee. Stan Lee will be trapped. Ramsey, welcome to the True New Podcast, bro.
Thank you, man.
Oh, my gosh, dude. How you doing, first of all?
Doing all right.
I want to say thank you for coming out, man. Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, Quez here, too. Yeah, that thing's there, too. That's not important. But I know we've been trying to get you on for quite a while. This man is like constantly busy, man.
You're so busy, dude. It's like you don't leave McAllen.
He's trapped.
I mean,
trapped by passion.
Yes, it is trapped by passion. It is, man. The list goes on and on for Ramsey.
Yeah.
I mean, Methmare. I remember from Methmare, first of all. That goes way back.
Yeah.
Then 40 Caliber Christmas is another great freaking awesome band, which I've debuted a lot on the radio and also the Chew New Podcast.
Thank you, brother.
The Horror Cons. I was the first Horror Con. Freaking amazing. I had so much fun.
Another thing I was wondering, like, what happened before Horror Con? I don't remember.
I don't even remember. It doesn't matter. South Texas Gamer Expo, which is another great one.
That was
dude. And then to top the cherry, put the cherry on top of the cake, South Texas Comic Con, dude. What have not you done, dude? This is crazy, bro. I'm telling you, Stan Lee, bro. Stan Lee in the Valley.
I do gotta say that there's already a Stan Lee in the Valley.
Uh-oh.
And that's Helgi from Myth Adventures.
Okay, all right. That's true. I forgot about that.
We don't speak his name because he doesn't return our calls.
Exactly. We don't speak his return calls.
Yeah.
So you are the new
Yeah, we declare it.
But yeah, man. So let's start from the very beginning, bro.
Cool.
Where are you from? What was the passion of doing what you're doing now? And where you're at, man. Take us on a story, right, man. Go ahead, talk to us.
Dang. Well, born and raised in Sullivan City, Texas, down heading past La Jolla, between La Jolla and like Rio Grande, Roma. Mm-hmm. That's Sullivan City.
You blink and you miss it.
I know.
Exactly,
I don't know. It's kind of grown now. I mean, I haven't been over there in like 18, 20 years. I don't know.
It's all good.
But not really born in Sullivan.
You can't. I guess maybe
somebody was born in Sullivan. It wasn't me. I was born in McAllen, but
a little manger.
That was a crazy house party.
We lived in Sullivan. Almost all my life, I think we moved there when I was 3. Before that, I think I lived in La Jolla. I don't remember any of that. So I was
that was a blur. That was all a blur.
It was a blur.
So my dad had a ranch in Sullivan, 10, 15 acres. And so grew up on a ranch.
Nice.
It was the best life. It was awesome. Other than the fact that my friend lived like a mile away.
Right.
Two miles away. I don't know, super far away. We were far away from everything. We'd come to like McAllen once a month, maybe mission, maybe two times a month.
Yeah,
you know?
Gotcha.
And I was telling my fiance today that like there was no restaurants in Sullivan.
There was
a couple convenience stores. Mm-hmm. The closest restaurant was in La Jolla. It was a Stars.
There you go.
Stars Drive-In. I don't know.
Stars Drive-In.
Stars Hamburger, whatever.
Yeah.
Starlight. Oh, Starlight. And so, I bet people were buzzing about that.
Oh, hey,
Laoya.
Oh, hey, dude.
That's some good grease burgers there.
The bacon is good.
That's some good bacon grease,
man. No kidding.
And yeah, we'd come to town like once every, I don't know, three times maybe a month or something. Anytime my mom was like, hey, I'm going to town. I want to go. There's only so much exploring you can do in the wilderness. There's only, you know, so many cactuses you can cut with a machete as a kid, you know.
So
I'd come to town, as we would say. And then, you know, if we went to HB, looking at that spinner rack of comics and,
you know,
we'd go to a store called Wins. I don't know if y'all remember.
Yeah, I actually do Wins, remember Wins.
W-I-N-N, apostrophe S. Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't even know, like, I was telling my fiance, I don't even know what the hell they sold in there. Like, maybe, like,
it was like
fabric and it was like, kind of like a mini Walmart. I don't know.
Kind of like that. It was kind of like that, what's the name of that place over here on what? Well, it's not there anymore. It was on Ole 83 right in front of all the thrift stores now. Now it's a thrift store. That used to be a material place. They have like Nicks and Knacks in here. Yeah. That kind of store it was.
So I'd go there with my mom and I'd go to the toy section and they'd have like, you know, grab bags, three comics for a dollar.
Oh, sweet.
And I would go and then there was like, it was the same comics that I already had. So I was like, where the hell can I get comics?
Right.
It wasn't until I think eighth or ninth grade that someone's like, you've never been to the comic store in McAllen? I was like, what? Comic store? Yeah. All these
what is comics. This comic what? Store that you speak of?
They get them every week? What? What are you talking about? You know? Because you can never keep up with the stories. Like, you'd find one issue here, and then months before you found another issue, was it, you know, was it even the same storyline?
Right.
And so, anyway, well, we'll rewind. And basically, yeah, I grew up in Sullivan.
Yeah.
Went to school in La Jolla. Graduated from there, went to Pan Am, and graduated from there, and worked in advertising, and then started working for myself.
Dude, I mean, you've done it. I would take your journey is like a dream come true. I would assume
it is. It really is to be able to do what you love, and what you're passionate about, and find some success. It's been amazing. I wouldn't change it.
Right.
But holy crap, was it hard to get?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, if you really want something, you need to go for it. Yeah.
You got to give up.
You got. Yeah. I hear you.
Everything.
You know? Yeah. And at the time, I know you also helped out in a magazine. You had your own magazine also, right?
Yeah. So I used to work for RGB Magazine before that, an advertising agency that ran it. And then when I went off on my own, my friend Ralphie from Ralphie's Skate Shop, I don't know if you remember Ralphie's Skate Shop in McAllen.
No, I don't know.
He used to, on 10th Street, he used to have a little ramp there and we'd have shows and stuff.
It was
really cool, dude. Yeah. And he's like, hey, I heard you know, you're on your own. And my other friend starting, you know, trying to start a magazine about aliens, he's like, you know, but he's like a salesman. He needs like a graphic designer and stuff.
Right. Right.
And I was, you know, contemplating starting a magazine of my own, but the shit that I was into, you know, can I say?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
No,
you cannot say shit. So please do not curse on our goddamn, you know, podcast, please. Thank you very much.
But I decided to call this guy, and so I called him, and he's like, hey, come on over, dude. And he's like, my apartment's the one with the lava lamp in the window. I was like, okay.
We know where we're going here. I know where this is going.
I know what's happening. It's happening.
So I show up, and apparently when I saw him, I was like, wait, what's your name? And he told me his name was Russell. And Russell Dowden. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, and I reached into my wallet, and across the old wallet, I still had his business card in there from like, what was it, Star Wars Episode One in like 90, I don't know, when was that, 90, 96, 90?
Yeah, around there.
I don't know, was it 99? Late 90s,
yeah.
No, I don't know, whenever Episode One came out.
Right, right.
I had met him around that time, and his card had just stayed in my wallet with all the cards, right? And I was like, holy shit. He was like, oh yeah, dude, I remember you. And anyway, we hit it off. And he was telling me, yeah, I want to do this magazine called Weird Magazine. I used to do it in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm down here, you know, my kids are down here, I'm divorced and I don't want to be away from them.
Right.
But I don't know how to use, you know, any kind of graphic design programs.
Right.
But I'm a hell of a salesman. I was like, cool, because I suck at selling. Let's go. You know, so I was, he was like, you know, he was like, so what did you, your magazine want, you know, what's it going to be about? And I was like, well, I'm into the local music scene and, you know, music and art. That's kind of my thing. So that's what I want to do in my magazine. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I want to do aliens and conspiracies. I was like, well, let's just bash them together, dude.
There you go.
He's like, let's go. So we he would take care of all the conspiracy alien stuff. Mm-hmm. I would do the rock and music stuff.
Right.
The music and music art scene. Stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did that for, I don't know, maybe 8 months, 9 months or something like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And it just got real weird, dude. Like we're like printing, we printed something comparing like George Bush to like the Emperor, you know, in episode one, and like how he was, you know, Emperor Palpatine basically, and, you know, controlling both sides and
so
all this stuff.
You're the one
stuff.
Who started all the conspiracy down here.
I mean, it's partly my fault because we also had a radio show called Weird Radio.
Right.
And they would play us on some AM station, right? And yeah. It had like a, I don't know, part of McAllen and part of Mission could hear us, and that was it, right?
Okay, all
right,
gotcha.
And they even had
the
this
small
thing.
Signal. Yeah,
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 and it was
yeah,
like
yeah.
A like a Spanish station, and then like at 11 o'clock at night, all of a sudden, like a voice would come on and say, like,
I think it would say
something to the extent of, "No sabemos qué van a decir estos pendejos, pero no tienen nada que ver con nosotros ni los que se anuncian aquí, right?" You know, has, you know, I don't know what these idiots are going to say, but whatever they say has no bearing on what we do or any of our advertisers.
Right,
you know,
right.
Here's Weird Radio. And then so we'd come on and we'd interview some really, really cool and interesting people.
I think I remember. And, I think I do remember that in particular yeah. radio station. I think this was what, like around 99, 2000?
This was 2004. 2004, 5, 6.
At the time.
Maybe, 2004 and 5, I think.
My wife and I were recently married. I think we were living in McAllen at the time. And
okay,
I think I did hear that radio station at one point in my vehicle driving to work.
Yeah, it was kind of like Coast to Coast. Y'all
yes.
listen to Coast to Coast. It's kind of like that, but local.
Yeah.
And we would talk to some of the same people that they had on their show and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was real, real awesome. Russell was a great interviewer. And, you know, I was like his backup. And then so what we do is we had a 2-hour block.
Okay.
And we would sell commercials to like Simon Says, The Blue Onion, like anybody who would, you know, who wanted a crazy commercial.
Yeah,
we'd make some crazy ass commercials, you know, and we'd be laughing like the whole time, dude, we had a little studio, maybe about this size.
Right.
And there was like a barber shop next door, like a beauty salon. And my landlord was there and he would come and he's like, shh, like, what the hell are y'all doing? Like, keep it down. And we'd just be like cracking up from the stuff we're coming up with for radio commercials. But yeah, we do the first hour was music. Uh-huh. Or no, I think the first hour was the guests,
whoever
we had. And the second hour was local musicians. We'd bring them on. We'd interview them.
Right.
They'd play live. And
That's awesome.
It was so much fun. We'd take live calls on the air and it was really fun. So we did that for a while, and yeah, it's we definitely made some people paranoid. For sure. And then it got real weird, dude. And one day I used to live in Weslaco at the time, and Russell was like, dude, our line is clicking, our phone is clicking. I was like, why would it be clicking? That means it's tapped, dude. We're on to something. And I was like, well, I won't be on to nothing, dude. Like, what do you mean, you know? And he's like, George Bush article, we hit it right on the head, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, shit, dude. And so
he's paranoid himself.
Yeah, and so I was driving back over here to Weslaco. We live here down Cherry Blossom over here.
Okay.
And my whole band lived together, so we were jamming and having a blast there.
Right.
And one day I'm driving, and it's like in the movies, and maybe I was just paranoid, you know. I'm not gonna say that's not possible,
a
right?
A black Suburban was following you, buddy.
But a black Suburban was following me, and I was like, what the hell is going on, right? And this guy was just like tailing me, right? And so I took an off ramp, right? And then I come back on a little while later, boom.
He's there again.
I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, and I tried to lose him and I couldn't lose the guy. I was like, well, you know, they probably already know where I live, but I'm not doing, I don't even have anything to do with the stories Russell puts. I'm just interviewing bands. So you know, what the hell? So I went home.
I just want to be in the video.
So I went home, fucking the van or the Suburban passes. And I'm like, why are they following me? Like, follow Russ. Sorry, Russ. Follow that guy. He's the one who wrote it. He's the one who, you know, I'm just interviewing bands and trying to have a good time, you know?
There you go, there you go.
And so, but it did freak me out.
Yeah.
And I told him, and I was like, hey, dude, like this legit happened, and it's got me freaked out. Like what the hell was with that story? Like, where did you get it from? Like, what's the deal with it, right? And he's like, don't worry, dude. You know? And I was like, don't worry about it. I was like, yeah, they weren't following you, you know? The rent, the lease, everything's under my name, you know? Damn. The phone bill, like, everything's under my name. Nothing under your name. You know, shit. How convenient, you know, right. Fucking Russ.
Fucking Russ.
He was down the other day and he's like, hey, come to Simon Says. It was like 2 a.m. I was like, what? Simon Says. And next morning I'm like, well, when? You know, and he's like, dude, last night. I was like, I was there. I was like, oh, dude.
Sorry.
I was asleep.
I was with the Black Suburban.
No. So he's like, don't worry about it, dude. Like, you know, my friend, like, you know, that happened to her. And, you know, they ended up busting her for other stuff, you know, because, you know, so they're not going to bust you for this shit. Like, you know, it's stupid.
Don't worry. They'll
bust you for other stuff.
Someone else.
They'll find something else to bust you for. And I was like, dude, I don't want nothing to bust me for. I don't want to get busted.
You're going to go missing.
F your stories. F this conspiracy shit. I'm out. And then so I left, dude.
The important thing, Russ is fine.
Yeah, Russ is good.
Russ is good.
He went off and worked for like Alex Jones and shit.
He
invited me to go to that too. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm teaching at the time I was teaching.
Wow.
And but he's like, hey, I need my bro here, dude. Come over to Austin. You know,
right.
Alex said I could hire you. And he basically headed up Alex's InfoWars magazine.
Oh, okay.
That's what I would have been working on there too. I was like, dude, like I just got a badass job teaching art.
Right.
I'm good, dude.
I just hope we don't get followed for a damn rest.
And then imagine if they're following me for this stupid little rag that we print 5,000, 10,000 copies of. Imagine, you know, working for Alex Jones.
Well,
no.
Jesus.
Hell no, dude.
We're going to call you and let you know that we're okay. That we're fine.
We're fine. Yeah, you're here to text from me tomorrow afternoon. Something's up. But so after that wild ride with Russ, I mean, when did you fall in love? I mean, you at a young age, you're already collecting comic books.
Yeah.
When you first opened your first comic book shop that was belonged to, this is my baby.
Yeah.
When was this and what was the moment when you opened the doors?
So that was 2010. I think it was like July 7th or June 7th, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Facebook reminds me every year and I'm like, oh. That's today. Guess what, guys? We're 13 years old. You know, sorry, we're having a party this weekend.
There you go.
It wasn't planned better, but I keep forgetting it was June or July. It might have been July. And but what happened was, so when I left Russ, I went and started the magazine I originally was going to start Magex. And it was about music and art, and that's it.
Yeah,
no conspiracies.
Yeah, exactly.
FBI, CIA, whoever the hell you were, Homeland, Secret Service, whatever. Leave me the fuck alone. I have nothing to do with any of that, like, conspiracy, anything, you know. I'm doing music and art.
And
go find Russell.
He's obviously the mastermind.
Now he does Texas Hemp Reporter. It's his magazine
in
Austin, dude.
Wow.
And so he was bringing some copies down the other night. I'm not saying this so the FBI can know.
No, of course not.
He's still in publishing, you know.
Sure is.
Yeah.
He's still in publishing and he learned.
And he drives.
And he learned graphic design, so he does all his own stuff.
There you go.
But so I started that magazine and I rented a space. Well, I kept the, I guess the place we were in, mm-hmm. where we're, I guess our little office, the landlord was like, I was like, hey, I'm going to leave and Russell's going to take over. He's like, no, I don't want Russell. You know, I don't know if he's going to pay me. Like, you gotta do it. I was like, well, I'll fucking stay. Okay. You know, and so I ended up staying there and doing MagX from there until I had a break-in. Then I moved into the corner of 8th and Pecan. That was on the corner of 6th and Pecan.
Yeah.
And so I did the magazine from there for a few years, mm-hmm. Doing like advertising work on the side for different companies. And then I would only use a little office in the back of that whole area.
Right.
And one night, you know, I was telling my fiance back then, she was my girlfriend. I was like, hey, like, what can I do to monetize the rest of this place? Like, there's, you know,
there's so much space.
90% empty, mm-hmm. you know? And she was like, I don't know. I was like, well, let's go to Denny's. Eat some food.
There you go.
You know, we'd call them Krabby Patties. Get some burnt Krabby Patties. And I love SpongeBob. Yeah, you know, gotcha.
SpongeBob all that the time. Explains who's coming down.
Right, that's right. That's right. And we went to Denny's, and I ran into my friend Chris Ponce.
Oh, okay. All right. Chris. Yeah, yeah.
From the Average Boys.
Average Boy podcast. Yeah.
And so he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, man, we're trying to brainstorm, dude, what to do with our office. Like, you know, I only use my little office in the back. Everything else is empty.
Right.
Like, what can I do to monetize it? He's like, dude, you love comics. Open a comic store, dude. And I was like, oh, shit. You're right. That's a brilliant idea. You know? And I was like, I can read comics all day, you know? Like,
right.
Customer every once in a while, you know? No biggie. You know, I'll take care of them, and I'll still get to do my work and stuff.
Right.
But I guess after a couple of months, it started
picking up,
yeah. And I wasn't able to do my other work anymore. Right.
So you were pretty much looking at it as like a secondhand thing. The main goal here.
Yeah,
it's just something on the back burner.
Keep the advertising going for all my side for all my clients. Keep the magazine going.
Right.
And but I guess it was busy, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people coming in, a lot of work required. But not making any money. So that was the trade-off was like, okay, like, you know, I'm working hard as hell, but no money is coming in. Like, it's too expensive.
Gotcha.
You know, there's a lot of things. Everything's guesswork when you're, you know, in retail. Like, what's going to sell? What isn't going to sell? Exactly, what do people want? Yeah. Do people like what I like? You know, what is it that they want? And so it was a lot of work trying to get, you know, I guess the art and science to, you know, together to make it work, right?
Yeah.
And but anyway, at this point, that didn't happen for many years. So
I got you. Yeah,
had to get a job teaching.
Yeah,
and I had my degree and everything, and I was like, well, let me see what's out there. And there was an art position.
There you go.
And I was like, man, I'd love to teach art to kids, right? And I had a blast, dude. It was so awesome. I did it for like 2.5-3 years, mm-hmm. and so I would wake up at like 6 a.m, 5:30 a.m, get ready, go teach, you know, mm-hmm. Get out about 5, come to the comic store, relieve the employee that was there, who at the time was my best friend, Jess.
Okay.
And he'd leave, and then we'd stay open till 8. And then I'd head home from like 9 to midnight. I'd work on the magazine, and from midnight to like 2 a.m, work on conventions.
Right,
fall asleep, wake up 3.5 hours later.
Go to work.
5-hour energy.
Yeah.
Go to work again.
Jesus
Christ. Until and I did that for like a couple months, and literally 5-hour energy every morning. I'd stop by the store, buy one, and just to stay awake. And
right.
Until one day, like, I felt super, super dizzy, and I didn't feel good. And I asked if I could go home. They got a sub,
mm-hmm.
went home, and it was scary, dude. I didn't feel good at all, and I was just wearing myself out.
There you go.
Damn. But
especially those energy drinks going in your system every day.
So I was like, I gotta let something go.
Right.
Yeah. So I let go of the magazine, which was the hardest thing, you know. And it would make a little bit of money, not too much,
right, you know. Yeah.
But you know, maybe $500 to $800 a month is what it made, mm-hmm. And it was a lot of work, and I had to chase everybody who's buying ads for their money. There wasn't like, hey, I'm gonna send you an email with a credit card bill and you just pay it there or whatever. There wasn't any of that yet.
Yeah.
I'd have to drive to Brownsville. I'd have to drive to Harlingen to these bars, and
the bar
owners are only there ready to pay at 2 a.m, you know? So it was real wild.
Yeah.
And so I stopped doing the magazine. I always dream of bringing it back, but, cause it was a lot of fun. And basically it was interviewing my friends' bands. We got to the point where, touring bands would contact us,
right?
You know, like the Deftones or whatever big bands were coming to the area, or the promoters would mm-hmm. put us in touch with them. Hey, man, can you have this band coming in this month? Can you put them on the cover? Can you do this and that? And yeah, let's talk to them. So we got to interview, you know, I don't know, I'd say 50 big bands that were touring.
Wow, wow, man.
And it was a lot of fun. And we had no journalistic background.
Right.
Some dudes who love music and interviewing musicians. It was so much fun.
Right.
And had to let that go. And then I was able to kind of get some rest fall asleep by midnight, maybe 11 o'clock and survive. Cause I don't think I would have survived doing all that 3.5 hour sleep, like on the weekends with my kids, there was no time for rest.
Yeah. I mean, considering the fact, I mean, like I said, these are just the stepping stones to where he's at now. I mean, not only that he had the comic book store, I used to go to the comic book store to your store some of the time just to go pick up a Walking Dead comic or Night of the Living Dead comic. And I would just go out there just to go check it out. Cause he had a bunch of cool stuff, man.
Yeah.
Some cool stuff to look at.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he was doing that. You were teaching and then he was playing with a band. The first one was with Methmare first. Yeah. And then
second technically, but yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then you got with 40 Caliber Kiss.
Yeah.
So that one I know Adrian for a long time. he's a
love
nut.
That guy.
And I know Mikey because his brother is the other half of the podcasts that are here.
Yeah.
Great guys, man. The band, I love the gimmick though, 40 Caliber Kiss. Oh. The way, if you really abbreviate it, it's perfect.
FCK.
it's like he couldn't really put that on his shirt, but 40 Caliber Kiss.
it's close enough.
Should have put it on a poster then.
We had it on a shirt. We did.
Yeah, why not?
Early on.
Yeah. And you guys, pretty much played up and down the valley, left and right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you guys had a chance to see these guys play, I mean, they're still trying to get things back together again to get doing what we had a conversation before the show started.
Yeah.
But it's the energy that band has, man. It's just crazy. Like I said, the last time I saw you guys was that during Halloween. It was Halloween Halloween. And Mike was wearing some fairy suit. I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
I was dressed straight out of Call of Duty.
Yeah. But the mic stand that Ramsey uses on stage that I've seen, it's freaking amazing. It's a freaking lifesaver.
It's a custom-built lightsaber.
Oh, my God. Dude. I'm like, dude, that is the shit.
Well, that's how geeky I am.
That's the shit, bro.
Nerd. I am.
This guy's cool. Oh, nerd.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, and I saw that. I'm like, God, what does not this guy not do, bro? And then all of a sudden,
does he keep his paperwork in a trapper keeper?
I don't think so, sir.
I don't think so.
And then after that, after seeing that, boom, HorrorCon just falls on the table. It's one of the first cons I went to.
Yeah,
amazing.
And that's what I was working on while I was teaching. It was figuring out that first HorrorCon and how it was going to work and trying to get started. I did have an event background from, another company that I worked for. I'd help manage the events. And it was mainly like concerts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then when I went off on my own, some of my clients ran, these big shows like You and Me and, those concerts and all kinds of stuff, different promoters. We would do their advertising and stuff. And we'd help them manage the events and stage manage and all that kind of stuff. So I had some experience and I was like, I wonder if I can make it translate to conventions,
Right.
And it ended up being like way different.
Yes.
But it did definitely, the experience did come in handy.
Yeah. And I mean, when you came to the idea of making these cons through the now, or like I said, 10 years of South Texas Comic Con, 10 years.
That's a lot.
That's
a lot of achievements.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When you first opened up the doors for the first South Texas Comic Con, and I was watching, shout out to David, he's had you on the podcast last week or the week before, and I was looking at the pictures like, dude, that was 10 years ago? Are you kidding me? What was your thoughts when you were opening the doors? Were you crossing your fingers, please? I knew it was going to flop. I knew because the people that you brought down, people were interested. Mm-hmm. But at that moment when the doors were about to open, what's crossing your mind, man?
I was like, am I digging my hole deeper, or is this helping me climb up? I don't know yet at this point. When I was opening it up, at the point when I did it, you know, I owed like 100,000 in student loans, and you know, bad credit score.
Trying to catch up.
Yeah. I was working, I was teaching to pay for Kaboom.
Right.
You know, and so Kaboom wasn't making enough money to even cover an employee. Like I'd have to pay that out of whatever I made. Right.
Right. Right.
And so I was just so far in the hole. I was like, well, let's try some shit, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
And
let's venture off.
And hopefully it works, you know? Right. If I can just get some of my geeky friends to attend, you know, maybe it'll work. And everyone's like, oh yeah, it's not gonna work. People were telling me, dude, like,
were you wrong?
this kind of stuff, like, it takes 5 years to get it off the ground. I hope you have, you know, money saved up. Like, oh, I heard it all, dude. You know,
right.
Nobody wanted to be a vendor at this show. People are like, what is a convention? Like, what happens there? You know,
are you kidding me?
And I would go and have to knock on doors, like, I, you know, not house doors, right? But like on businesses,
hey,
be like, hey,
hey,
you know, I have this thing and I'm bringing down these celebrities, and you know, there's a chance for you guys to bend there, and it's only like, you know, $200 for a booth, you know, and you get to be there 2 days, and you know, and people are like, well,
okay,
no, get out of here, get out of here, yeah, and so a few people, you know, did jump on, and I didn't sell nearly as many booths as I needed to, but we did all right.
Yeah,
and we actually made a little bit of money, and I was like, oh shit, like this there's something there. We had I think 1,500 people.
Wow,
come through for that one.
I don't care what you say, man. That's a lot down here in Warren, especially the RG. That's a lot.
1,500. I was like, holy crap! Like, okay,
yeah.
So there's something there, but yeah, I was just glad it worked. But you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what, you know, how it worked,
exactly,
you know, what was working, what wasn't.
I would assume that you did try. I'm pretty sure you've gone to other cons. I mean, just to get more or less. Do you, when you go to these cons and the person that's running it, if I was trying to do a con myself, I mean, I would try to get as close as possible to the main person and say, hey, man, show me the ropes, man. I'm trying to bring this down here also.
Yeah.
I mean, you do got something.
Exactly.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. It's very hard to, you know, I understand the fact that you do all, that person makes all the effort. He's climbed to the top. He's just not going to just dish you and throw your bone.
You don't even see those guys, especially at that time. It was all corporate events.
Right, like, right.
The main people running it, they're not even there. They have people running it for them.
Right.
You know, and they have like multiple cities that they do, and they just set things up in the background, and hey, how's it going? Okay, cool. Make me money. You know, so you couldn't even find anything like that. You know?
Right, right.
And so it was all like sink or swim. And so I went to like some Wizard Worlds, which was like a big, convention circuit that we used to. It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody who remembers Wizard.
Wizard Magazine, which was a price guide for comics. Well, they had their own kind of conventions, and that was the first one I had gone to. We had gone to a couple of hotel ones, like in Houston and stuff.
Right.
But the first big con that I went to was 98, Wizard World in Chicago.
Oh,
and so we went over. There's a way before I even had thoughts of any of this, you know.
Right, right.
We were just going just to geek out, and I was trying to actually get a job drawing comics, and so I was going to show my portfolio and stuff. And,
right, right.
So then we went to another one in 2004, and that was it, you know. And then I guess in 2011, one in Austin as well. You can walk around, but you're not really learning anything.
Right.
But I did see things and experiences and think like, okay, well, that's not the best experience there. How can I, what would I do? You know?
Right. Exactly.
So it was a lot of figuring it out on my own. Okay. That didn't work. Let's try it again. That didn't work. Let's try it again. Oh, that worked. Cool.
Right. Right.
You know,
right,
now how about this part? Didn't work. Oh, how about this part? Right, and just kind of,
just, you know, better yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Better yourself.
Fix it as you go. And just, you know, there's some things you don't realize until you're actually in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it kind of came about. But our first con was at HorrorCon in 2012. So 12 years ago. And we had Danny Trejo there.
Yes.
Yeah. He was one of our guests. And now we're bringing him back.
And he's back again.
12 years later. And That's cool. They took a chance on me. I had to put down a real big deposit that I didn't know how I was going to get.
Yeah.
But, I was short some money towards the end.
I got you.
And my client, he used to own a company called Eden Swimming Pools. And so I do all their advertising and stuff back then. Mm-hmm. And he passed away several years ago, mm-hmm. Maybe 5-6 years ago. But the first convention, he was like, hey, so how's it going? And I went to his house to go help him with his computer and to build some, you know, things for him.
Right.
For his company, because I would do his commercials, his radio, his everything. Right.
Right.
All his graphic design. She's like, hey, can you come on a Saturday? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'll be there. Tired as hell, you know, but I went. And so I worked with him there for like 3 hours. He's like, hey, so how's this thing going? I was like, man, I've gotten pretty far, but man, I'm still like $5,000 short, you know? And so, but I think we'll be fine. Like, I think it'll come in ticket sales. I think, you know, it'll be fine. And I was like technically $15,000 short at that time. Jeez. But my family came through, my parents, my sisters.
Right.
I was like, hey, look, I'm doing this thing. If y'all can come up with some money, you know, a couple of grand each or whatever you can give me, and I make money, like, I'll double it.
There you go.
You know, I'll pay you back double.
Right.
And and if I don't, I'll find a way to pay you, you know.
Right.
And they took out loans. Took out loans from the credit union, their credit unions, their teachers and stuff. And my parents pulled it out of their savings and they came up with 10. I only told them I needed 10, but I needed technically 15, right? So then I went to Chris's house from Eden Pools, working on his stuff. And he's like, so how's it going? I was telling him, I was like, man, it's going, but man, it's, you know, scary. I'm still like $5,000 from where I need to be.
Right.
And I haven't been able to sell these vendor booths. Like, these people don't understand what a convention is, you know, or why they should sell there, you know. So I'm having a little bit of a hard time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay, you know, well, you'll figure it out. I was like, yeah, you know, and I wasn't trying to do a sob story. It was just a regular conversation.
Right.
And then he was an amazing client to have as an advertiser, you know, because he's the kind of guy who would chase you to pay you.
Oh, okay.
You
know?
Didn't have to chase him.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he's like, hey, what are you going to bill me, dude?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Bill me already, you know, that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'll get to it. Like, no, bill me now. Stop what you're doing. Write a bill. Send it to me so I can pay you.
Right, and,
you know,
right.
That was the kind of client he was.
Wow.
So I went to his house. He's like, okay, so what are you for all this stuff? I was like, oh, it's like $150. He's like, okay, let me get you a check. $5,150 on the check.
Holy moly. Wow.
And he's like, just make sure I get it back. And I was like, Chris, I promise you, if I have to work for you for free for the next 5 years, you'll get your money's worth, you know?
Right.
And he's like, I know I will. And
awesome, man. That's awesome.
It was 2 weeks before the show, and I had enough money to do the show.
Wow.
It was pretty wild. So thank you, Chris.
That's good.
Wherever you're at.
God bless
appreciate
you. Up in the heavens looking down, man. I feel like he's still helping you out, man. 10 years, still going. It rocks.
Yeah.
It rocks. And I know, and I hate to bring this up, and then Rand, oh no.
But you are.
Oh yeah, I'm going to bring
here
it up.
Here you go.
I watched the podcast that you were on the week before, 2 weeks ago. And they brought up a question about last year's podcast. I mean, last year's
StormCon.
StormCon, right now, mm-hmm. we call it.
StormCon
2023.
When it rained, when it blew all the trees down.
Yeah.
That's the one.
You know, and what's so crazy is that my son and I had gone the day before on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I was telling, and the next day I saw what happened. I was like, oh my God. I was telling my wife, I go, Marcus and I dodged a huge bullet. She goes, why? I go, Ramsey is in the rough right now. I hope he can pull it through. Oh God, please help this guy out, man. Cause this is, it's a big event, you know?
I think he sent this.
No! Where's my VIP tickets?
He's gonna send another one. Shit. to knock on this haunted ass thing.
But that moment, I mean, you explained that in the other podcast. I mean, hearing you speak, I mean, you sound like you were trembling in your boots for a while. And but people rallied around you and helped you out, bro.
Yeah.
And that was the beautiful thing about it. I mean, and then for the not to talk mean about the McAllen Convention Center, you know, for them saying you can
no, talk have, shit about
so,
it.
Or you're gonna add so many people in there. That to me is like a voice to say, we're gonna make him fail. They go, we're gonna make him fail, and then we have to deal with this guy anymore. No. You put your foot down and you put the pedal to the metal and you kept it going.
I had to.
And then it was freaking amazing, dude. Because you kept it going, and then all of a sudden, boom, God said there to be light, and everybody went after that. So I mean,
it was a rough I don't know, 5 hours without electricity. But I gotta say, the convention center made things happen. It was the fire marshals
that
decided how much. But the convention center bent over backwards to make sure I could do it, because I got there.
Right.
And the convention center's like, nope, go home. Tell everybody go home. No power. And I was like, wait, I see some lights in there. He's like, one out of four lights are working. Only one aircon out of, you know, 10 is on.
Leave the doors open there.
The computers and the network is down, so we can't even unlock the magnetic doors.
Oh my God.
And I was like, we'll get a generator and turn those computers on.
They're like, they're like,
but the network still won't work, so we still can't unlock it.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, there's a way, guys. There's a way, you know.
Right.
And they ended up saying, okay, let's give it a try, you know.
Right.
The McAllen Convention Center and all the people there, awesome, you know, for allowing me to be able to do that and
still have an
event. But yeah, it was the fire marshals and their concern was
the safety.
There's a fire.
Right.
You know, most of the doors are magnetically locked. You know, where are they going to go? And I said, well, open up those big garage doors. They can all run out that way. You know?
Single file, people.
And they're like, okay, I guess technically we could do that.
Right.
But yeah, man, the first 5 hours, it was empty in there. It was like 1,500 people in that big space. Doesn't seem like a lot.
Right.
And I kept begging, like, please let us get more people in here. Right. Look, it's empty. And they're like, 10 people that leave, 10 more people can come in.
Right.
But nobody wanted to leave.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So it was pretty wild. But
It's tough. I mean, consider the fact that you can only have so many people in the building. And, I mean, I'm going in there. I'm going to go get the full experience. Hey, man. It's like you're going to come to me. How long have you been here? You've got to go. Okay, I got to get more people in, and it's, you know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But like I said, the lights came back on, and it was full throttle after that, man.
Yeah, it was sink or swim. There was no right answer there.
Right.
If I'd have said, okay, sorry guys, everybody go home. All the vendors who traveled from, you know, as far as like California,
right,
they come from all over the U.S. to sell here.
Yeah.
You know, with risking whatever to be able to try to make some money,
right?
You know, 100 vendors coming in, hopefully trying to make rent, you know, and put food on their table.
That's crazy.
The celebrities, you know, coming in. If I had said, okay, sorry, go home, they would have left, and there would have been no Sunday either. You know,
exactly.
So I think I did the right thing,
right?
You know, and just tried my best to make it happen, and then about 4 or 5 o'clock, lights came on.
Yeah.
And then we were able to kill that big line and
that's
get everybody inside.
That's but awesome,
it was
crazy.
It was wild. It was very wild.
That's crazy. Well, man.
I mean, I can't help but notice like there's this thing happening where you put your will into it and your mind into it, and somehow it all comes together. And I think that shows that it's meant to happen.
Yeah. It's and you know, in a situation like that, what can you do? You know, you got to pick a direction and just go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because you
know, hope it's the right one.
Yeah, yeah, you could have played it safe and like, okay, well, I mean, that's it, and just cancel everything. But you know, then the power would have come back on. You were like, oh man. Yeah,
and we were up all night, like about 2 a.m, 1 a.m.
Jeez.
Well, the storm hit, right?
Right.
And right before the storm hit, the plane with all the celebrities that connected from like Austin or wherever they were at was in the air. Like circling for like an hour, and there was no power, so they went back to Austin.
Oh my
god!
So
we were up all night trying to figure out, like, can we get an Uber to drive them from Austin? Can we rent a shuttle? Can we rent, like, what can we do to get them down? Because you know, there's no power, and we didn't know when the power was going to come on. Mm-hmm. So about I guess 11 o'clock. Oh, and they had to stay on the tarmac, you know, like parked.
Right. Because
right. there was no gate to get them off.
Jesus
you know, so they were
Christ.
In that plane for like 11 hours, dude.
Wow.
The celebrity. So imagine wow. how fucking pissed they were.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, probably like, why the hell did I decide to come to this thing?
Never coming to South Texas again.
and that goes to my next question, man. I mean, the celebrities that come down, the experience they come down to the RGB, because mm-hmm. technically, I mean, compared to other cities, we are kind of small.
Yeah.
We're kind of small. I mean, we can't compare ourselves to San Diego. We can't compare ourselves to Miami or in
Dallas,
all of
Dallas,
Houston, Houston yeah. that have these big cons. But what you do is like, it's like a smaller thing coming, the best thing coming in smaller packages. And it's the truth, man, because you've done so much on the and there's another, and this is what I kind of a pet peeve for me when I go to your cons. I mean, I love it, dude. I just sometimes the guests get a little upset because they go, well, yeah, I thought, for instance, let's throw a name out there. Chuck Norris coming down, mm-hmm. you know, he's coming down. Well known man. You know, everybody knows who Chuck Norris is. They're in line to get the autograph. And when they get there, they see the price. And I'm like, bro, you're going to meet somebody mm-hmm. that's huge. He's going to charge what he's going to charge. Mm-hmm. That's their bread and butter.
That's why yeah, they're
there. That's why they're there. That's how they make their money. That's how they make their living. You know, this is what they do. They go from con to con to con, and they make money that way.
Yeah.
And you got to respect that, you know? And you got some who go, nah, but no, pagar tanto dinero no macho to get. And it's always that one person that just, mm-hmm. why did, my thought is like, turn around and say, why did you come in the first place?
It's Norris.
Why did you come in the first place? You know, and it irritates me sometimes, you know? Because these guys come down, the celebrities come down. First of all, it's not only do they come down on their own, it comes out of your pocket to bring them down. Don't think it's like, oh, $100 are going. No. We're talking.
So basically, it's like a gamble.
Yeah.
You, it's like it's like Vegas in the Valley when you bring down these celebrities.
Yeah, don't compare that to Vegas.
It is because I mean, you bring these big celebrities down, you know, and first of all, you got to make them feel at home.
Yeah.
When all of them come down, each one, and I've seen you do your rounds, bro. When I'm seeing you in con, you're like, here, there. You're like a bumblebee, man. You're like all over the place. And everybody feels welcome and nothing but positive vibes from every single celebrity that you guys have interviewed on some of the shows that you've done. Mm-hmm. You know, they say it's a great experience.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's awesome. The hospitality down here is great. You've given that hospitality, you know, but some of these, my gente, please understand. These guys need to make money. Also, you're coming to the con. You save.
Yeah, autographs are going to cost you money.
Yeah, they're going to cost you money.
$20 to I think Chuck Norris charges like $100.
$150
for an autograph or a photo or whatever it is that they
exactly.
That they do.
When are you going to meet Chuck Norris? When are you going to meet? And
it's like four people in a photo. So
yes.
If everyone split that $25 to be in a photo with Chuck Norris, I'd do it. You know, that's not that bad a deal. But I think it's been an education process. You know, like people in the beginning didn't know what cons are. And every con is somebody's first con, you know. So they still got to kind of learn like, okay, this is how conventions work. You know, the celebrities come down. It's like you go to a sports show. You know, you want to take a picture with a basketball player, you know, or get an autograph on a basketball or a jersey.
Exactly.
$400 or $500.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like here they're charging $30-$40, you know, and people are complaining.
Exactly.
But it's not, and I got to say, it's not like a vast majority of people, it's a minority.
Yeah.
Like I said, they don't know very how cons work.
Yeah.
You know, this is the first con they've ever been to or it's heard crazy. Of or whatever.
Yeah.
But most people are always like, if you'll see in the comments, like, oh, well, how much, what's the autograph? Yeah, like, they already want to know. And
I like the fact that you put it on
yeah,
his
put it on the website.
You
as
can
soon as,
see
as soon as we get them from the agents, we put it on there. And if we get them, you know, most of the time we get 90% of them or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll put it on there, just transparency, you know.
Right.
But you can always just go on there and say hi, bro.
Right.
And go, and that costs nothing.
So the people you're going to go see at the con, go to the website, go to the South Texas Comic Con on the website. It'll show you how much each autograph is. Go to your loan. Figure out how much you're going to spend on those autographs.
Yeah.
And then
you're good to go.
There you go.
You're good to go.
Yeah. And if you can't afford it, just get in line and say, hey, love your work. And that's
exactly.
free.
Exactly.
Attend the Q&A panel or the, you know, when we have celebrity speakers that, you know, every hour on the hour, there's a celebrity speaker going on the main stage.
Yes.
Go attend their panel. Listen to that. All that's included with your tech.
You ever catch anybody with like camcorder sunglasses?
I have not, but maybe I need to start looking out
well,
for that.
Well, thank you.
We need to start checking for that.
Oh, my God.
Some of the celebrities do say that.
Thanks a lot, man.
That they don't want it recorded. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I think people film with their phones anyway, but if a celebrity specifically says, hey, you know, no recordings, we announce it in the front and say, hey, you know, we're asking
you to
put your phones away, you know, stuff like that, you know.
No problem, Chuck. Don't worry about it.
Click. Or it's like the movies, you know, you're not supposed to record in the movies, but.
What's going on, Chuck? You know,
what are you going to buy in the Puglia, you know, if nobody recorded in the movies, what happened to those Puglia DVDs? You know, with a guy walking in the front, copying, and people munching popcorn, all that.
I hear you, man.
What are those? LeVar Burton gave me.
He didn't come to the con. Oh, I'll just leave him on.
I gotta go.
Yeah, I've noticed that, bro. And, you know, and it's good. I mean, I understand being a fan, you're excited. You know, even like last year, the Comic Con, I took my son. We met Steve Downs. Shout out to Steve Downs, man. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome human being. He spoke to my son. In the private, we went to a back room with him. We were talking in there, and he did a video for him and everything. They sat down, they talked. I was like, "Wow,
that's cool."
That is all. This was.
He hated him, but he liked it.
I told him, I will pay. I'll pay with it. No, don't worry about it. I got you. He started talking to my son.
Yeah.
He did a video for him, and I go like, "Wow, dude, my son loved it."
I heard it was awesome.
Master Chief, yeah.
Yep.
It was awesome, bro.
That's why I like my nephew.
He gets all the cool stuff.
He doesn't like you either, man.
And like it's a bond. JDF, the Great Power Ranger.
Yes.
He would, like, if somebody came in through the line and just wanted to say hi and they didn't have money, he'd get a little card, give him a free autograph. Here you go, you know, like. Nice. No worries. There's generosity. It's not all about the money either, but they do have to make a living.
Right.
But
exactly.
That doesn't stop anybody from getting in line and being like, hey, you know, just wanted to say hi. You know, some celebrities are like, hey, we're going to take all the people who already paid.
Right.
And then we'll take anybody afterwards, you know.
Right. Right.
Assuming there's time. But for the most part, you can get in any line and, you know, wait in that line and just talk to them and say hi.
Yeah. And great conversation that is actually waiting in line with you, man. You meet a lot of new people, you know, and that's just so awesome. It's getting to know your community, I guess you can say, while you're waiting in line. Because, I mean, you bring down celebrities that first of all, I'm going to say it out loud right here. I'm going. There's only one reason why I'm going to the con this year. Because I need to meet my freaking hero, Lou Ferrigno, dude. Humongous Hulk fan when I was a kid. Like the first superhero I actually knew. Next to Christopher Reeves, but no, the Hulk was the guy because it was on national TV, the damn show. So I'm a huge fan. And I have yet to meet him. You know,
he's got green slippers. You just see him. It looks ridiculous.
I'm going to go paint all green that day.
No shirt.
No, I think I wear the shirt.
We're gonna check. Hey, are you green everywhere? Or just your arms?
Let's go to the restroom. No, it's right here for everybody to see. But, dude, just to meet him. I mean, and I'll have a lot of people tell me, you know, and a buddy of mine always tell me, dude, aren't you afraid? You know, some people say
you don't meet your
heroes because you might get the wrong impression. I go, yes and no. Yes, you may be right, but no. How am I going to experience that for the first time unless I meet them, you know?
Yeah.
Then it'll change the whole perspective on what I – but so far, everybody that I've met at the cons,
they've
been great.
And that's circumstances too. Like if you go to a con, chances are 99.9% of the time your experience with them is going to be amazing.
Right.
You know, if you go up to them on the street, hey, sir, and they have somewhere to go. Give me an autograph, give me this, give me that, demanding
they're
stuff.
Human beings,
that's
just
a
like
whole
us,
different
man.
Thing.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of that comes from you know, people who've been in that situation, you know, and they're just like, hey guys, like I gotta get to where I'm going, like, you know,
right,
or whatever, you know. But at a con, they're there expecting to meet you. So, you know, you're going to have a good experience with them, you know. Mm-hmm. It might be a couple minutes, you know, maybe a minute that you get to talk to them, mm-hmm. you know, probably no longer than that. Photo, autograph, hey, you know, I'm a big fan, whatever, you know, because there's 100 other people
exactly.
you know, that want the same experience.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's going to be quick, but it's going to be something. Like, right. when would you ever have met them otherwise? We're not in the streets of New York that were, or in California where you're going to bump into celebrities. You know, that's just not going to happen here in the Valley.
Yeah, and I got, you know? I got
the Comic Con.
Yeah, I got, yeah, I got to meet Mick Foley. I got to meet the Flash Gordon. I got to meet, you know, everybody. It was awesome, dude.
Oh, Flash is so cool, dude.
He's cool, dude. So awesome. I was kind of hoping he had Ted next to him, you know, and that would have been awesome.
That would have been great for the photo shoot.
We were expecting him to be like Flash Gordon.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's great. I mean, Sam Jones.
So I know you are working. This is the 10th anniversary already for the Comic-Con. You got a great lineup so far.
Thank you.
As far, I'm not going to push for next year.
A little bit.
Of my, some guests that you really should have seen. I know all of them, but which is the ones you want to really like go?
We've been trying for Stone Cold for so long.
Yeah,
Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he doesn't do very many cons, hardly any.
Yes.
And I figured I'm in Texas. At some point, hey, it's not that far. You know, he'll come someday. Every year. Not interested, not from him. He doesn't tell me. So he's just like, oh, he's too busy. He's doing this. He's doing that. What? He's doing that. You know?
What?
He doesn't know exactly. You want Stone Cold? What? Can I pick this up? No. What? So one of these days, you know, we'll wear him out. Undertaker, another one.
Right.
Undertaker's people don't even return my messages yet.
Ah,
so
Jesus.
Eventually, you know, we'll get some of those guys.
I will be there. You know.
So those are some people that we've been working on, and we're always working on. Bruce Campbell from
The
Evil Dead.
That's what I put on the podcast.
Every year, we're trying to get Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
And every year they're like, you know, and him and Elvira, you know, and every year they're like, hey, hit us at this time. You know, we don't start taking bookings until November 1st. Okay, we'll hit them up November 1st, book. You know, busy. You know, and it's like shit. You know,
November 1st. At which time they will?
And one time I was like, okay, what time is it over there? Okay, they're 3 hours, you know, behind.
Right.
So I'm gonna send it at 12:01 their time. So mine is the first one on November 1st.
Right. Right.
Busy.
Busy. You know, sorry. What?
Filming. Yeah. You know, it's always something, dude. So there's a lot of people that we would like, and then there's some people that are just. We can't afford, you know.
No,
Luke Skywalker. I'd love to have Mark Hamill.
My God!
But I'd need $400,000.
Yeah, I believe it.
Just
I
for
believe
him.
It. I believe it.
You know, and
people sell the truck.
And so
we'll put it out there, right?
So the conventions.
How much for a liver again?
So the conventions that have him, you know, are these big conventions that have 150,000 people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, exactly.
We hit 20,000. You know.
Wow, yeah, man.
So we're still. What is that? 6-7 times too small,
right?
To
exactly.
even be able to afford him,
right?
And then you know you're going to pay $400,
of course,
just for him. You know, so is the Valley ready for that? So there's things like that I think you know will grow into it. The area is growing. More businesses are coming. More wealth is coming. SpaceX, you know, Tesla, all these wealthy companies are starting to realize what we have, and hopefully that brings everybody's income up, and then eventually. You know, we'll be able to have Mark Hamill here.
So you're saying that Elon Musk will have a booth at PCON this year?
you're saying there's a chance.
I'm going to tweet to him and I'm going to say, hey, look who we have coming. Come hang, man. Come hang.
We'll
get you a Speedo Pop. Come on.
You do it. Bring your Tesla, park it outside so we can look at it.
Yeah, exactly. Bring that Cybertruck. No, I hit them up and I was like, hey, is there a Cybertruck in Brownsville you can bring over? They're like, we don't have one in Brownsville, but maybe from Austin we can send one down.
We'll bring it
like
down.
A show car. I was like, oh, let's talk. It wasn't Elon I was talking to. It was a very nice
this
man.
This guy knows everybody, dude.
Damien at Tesla. So
there you go, man. That's basically what I want to ask you, bro. I mean, I know you got like you pretty much answered the question as far as like reaching out to these larger stars. I mean, I'm saying not all stars are large. You bring down just seems like. The ones that they come out in the Comic-Con San Diego.
The popular ones that we want to see from right now.
Yeah.
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 It's like Stan Lee. Stan Lee, every year, hey, how much is Stan Lee this time? well, right now he's 25,000. We're like, oh shit, you know, back in 2014, can't afford.
Right.
2015. Oh, well, you know, how much is he this time? 50,000 down. Damn. You know, and we kept trying to jump these hurdles, and we're like, oh, are we there? Can we afford this? Oh, now he's 150,000. You know, and right. It just, you know, their prices keep going up and up.
Right, right.
As they're more in demand, and as mm-hmm. these bigger shows, you know, are mm-hmm. able to book them and bid for right. them.
Yeah.
So that was another one that I regret we were never able to get. But yeah. at the time, when other guests were charging like $20 an autograph, and it's gone up since then, you know, he was already at 100, you know, per autograph.
Wow. Right.
And I think I posted, I was like, what, you know, how would you guys feel, you know, paying $100 for an autograph from Stan Lee? And all the comments were like, what, $100? You're crazy. No. And yeah. it was like, no. And then a couple, yeah, I'd pay that. It's Stan Lee. But then the majority were like, freaking out about it. I was like, okay, we're not ready for that.
Yeah.
And now exactly. we missed our chance. But
yeah,
you know, like the economic circumstances of the valley are the economic circumstances exactly. of the valley. But I'm hoping, you know, with all this infrastructure coming in, that, you know, it rises, you know, rising tide.
Right, right.
Rises all ships. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, something like that.
Raises all ships.
Yeah. Well, we'll take your word for it.
But yeah, as it grows and you know, we're kind of about growing the convention center. But hopefully they start adding more to it so that we can fit more people in there.
Right.
And as that starts happening, and you know, as I start growing my team bigger, right now it's me and my fiance 99% of the time, and then
right.
closer to the cons we'll get some help.
Right.
You know, so it's just us doing everything. And like I said earlier when I was talking about the magazine, I'm not a salesman. Like I don't
right.
try to sell people like, hey, you know, this and that.
Right.
You know, like come, like I'm not like a car salesman. Like I tried car salesman shit. I sucked at it. I worked at Bird Ogden for like 2 weeks. I sucked. I couldn't convince nobody to buy a car.
That was your mistake.
And I convinced one guy, and then this other salesman came and swooped him up, and I got nothing for it.
Damn.
And he took him away, and I was like, I had already sold him.
Yeah. What's that asshole's name?
We'll call him. I don't know anymore, but that's when I was like, okay, fuck this job. You know, and then they're like, hey, you got to be here at 8 a.m. And guess what? We're having midnight sales, so you got to be here till 1. You know, 8 to 1, we're working there, not selling a damn thing.
Wow.
But, you know, as we build our team, you know, maybe I can find more sponsors and more money to bring down bigger celebrities, you know. But right now, like I said, it's a two-person deal, you know, 99% of the year. And then closer to the con, we'll get our con team to help us, and especially at the con. But, But yeah, everyone thinks we're like this big corporate giant, and it's like two of us slaving away, man. And
I hear you.
And it's not easy. Look, I'm bald for a reason. That was a lot of stress. You know, we don't.
I hear you.
Hey, I see more hair on there. Let's compare. Zoom in. I'll trade with you.
Okay.
Shit. But yeah, I mean, we get very little sleep. We're really working ourselves to death.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
For this thing that we really love and believe in, you know,
full throttle, pretty much every day. Yeah, I got you.
So as we're able to afford a bigger team, and you know, how do you grow, you know, this kind of business? You know, I've never worked for another convention. There's no buddy that's gonna say, "Hey, come on over here. I'm gonna show you the ropes." You know,
right.
Like I said, most of these corporations that do these things, like, you know, the guys, you know, in a skyscraper, you know, making calls and saying, "Hey, how's it going over there in you know, in Texas,
right,
you know,
right,
in
right,
Houston,
right.
How's that show going?" You know, and they have people doing it, like, you know, but I'm the one there outside. "Hey guys, you know, come on through here, step up through the, you know, through the metal detectors, you know, I'm in it, you know."
Yeah. And, I mean, you're, every time I see you, bro, you're like, you're always, it's like your video, your tape, your,
oh yeah, Facebook Live,
and or TikTok or whatever, and all that good. And I'm like, man, this guy does not stop, dude. Take a breather, bro. Sit down, drink something.
No rest till you're dead, or till I get to that corporate structure where I can talk to somebody and be like, "Hey, how's it going over there in McAllen? Yeah,
make me money."
Yeah, and I'm over here in like. You know, Hawaii over here smoking a cigar.
All right, calm down, man.
Yeah, they're having the convention over there in McAllen. You know,
all right, calm down, man. Hawaii, you're on the island.
You're at the island, the Romano house, maybe. But until that happens, until I figure out how to set up a, I don't know, some kind of corporate structure for this thing that is so You know, it's not like a typical business.
No, it's not. No.
So weird, you know, like, and it takes certain skill sets that, mm-hmm. that are hard to find, right. you know, for each piece of this. It's so many moving parts. It's so many calculations of, you know, what do you need and when and how and who's going to do it and right. how are we going to control the lines and how are we getting the celebrities here on time? Who's right. transporting them back and forth? You know, what do they want to eat? You know, what do they want to do while they're here?
Yeah.
You know, are these flights working with their filming schedules? You know, the convention center stuff, the booking and, you know, there's so many things right. that go into it that you really have to be able to multitask. And luckily, my ADD brain is used to be pretty good at that. So, it's getting harder as I get old.
Yeah,
and so as I build that team, you know, maybe eventually I'll have like a sales team
right.
who can go out there and really like, you know, make sure that we have sponsors and things like that can help fund bigger celebrities, you know. But you know, we're working on it.
You let me know, but I'll throw my name in the hat for you.
All right, let's go. Sounds good.
I got some questions here because they've been commenting quite
a bit. What's up, guys? Oh, we live. What's up?
I thought we were doing it.
Is it my band?
Because,
you know, hey, guys, I'll be there in about 10 o'clock,
all right? Now, I got Freddie Hunt. Shout out to Freddie Hunt watching the show. He says,
what's up?
He goes, tell him to add Popular Loner to perform at the con, please. I'm like, okay. Popular Loner.
Oh, Popular Loner. All right. We'll work on it.
We'll get a hold of you there, buddy. And then booked. I got David Norick saying, when are you bringing back Mr. South Texas Author Con?
There was an author con.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's something to think about in the future.
I think Pan Am did it or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know when it was though. But yeah, it's not affiliated with us. I don't know anything about that. But Google it and
Gorilla.
And yeah, if it's happening or maybe it already happened, but yeah, that was a cool concept.
Yeah, and then I got another one from Ramundo Rodriguez, WC, right? No, not that one. I'm not gonna read that one. It says, bro, Ramsey did our photo shoot back in 2005. Shout out to Mag X, WC, # Texas Most Wanted.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, and I got Rick's Phoenix Monzoon saying, sub Ramsey, man, what's I haven't up, seen Rick you Phoenix? Forever. Puro 956, bro.
That's right.
And then
another one that doesn't return at all. Yeah.
And then, here's the one that you're talking about. WC said, next time Chuck Norris comes back, I can have my dad as another booth as a stunt double just in case you need help. It's 50% off. 50% off.
Sounds good. Let's go.
And of course, our number one fan, Louie. You ready, buddy? Because he's already there. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. There you go, Louie. What's up, man? Yeah, dude.
Louie,
you better go to the Comic Con, dude. It's going to be freaking awesome, bro. Gotta go, dude.
Don't bother, Louie. It's booked.
So any words for your fans that are coming out? I mean, give me a commercial here. Comic-Con, baby.
So,
come on.
South Texas Comic-Con, April 26th through the 28th at the McAllen Convention Center. It's a 3-day show. Different celebrities. Some celebrities are there all 3 days. Some are just there Friday, Saturday. Some are just there Saturday, Sunday. Some are there just Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, I think only two Saturday ones are Chuck Norris and Kingpin from Marvel.
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah, that's going to be an awesome one too, dude.
So, I mean, pick your days. I always recommend the 3-day passes are cheap.
Yes.
You know, it's cheaper than buying, you know, two separate days.
Individual days.
Yeah. You know, grab one of those and, you know, if you go on a Saturday, you know, you're not going to be able to see the celebrity speakers because you're going to be waiting in line.
Yes.
Trying to meet everybody.
Exactly.
You know? If you want to enjoy the other parts of the con, there's concerts, there's comedians, there's the celebrity speaking panels, all that kind of stuff that are happening. Like I said, every hour on the hour, we have multiple rooms with things happening.
Right.
It really is a multiple day thing. I'm thinking of maybe someday just even selling just 3-day passes, and that's all there is. Just 3 days because Because how else are you going to do all the stuff there is to do? There's, I don't know, 20...
like a mini Disneyland, dude.
27 people to meet this year.
And wow, that's a lot, bro.
And people are calling me like, do you have a room? Do you have a room? I was like, oh, I don't have money for flights anymore, man. You're like, I'll fly myself. Okay.
You know, I'll go pick you up where you're at.
So there, and more people, more celebrities want to come down. So there's,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
It's comic fantastic. Artists, it's anime voice actors, it's cartoon voice actors. You got the voice of SpongeBob, which, you know,
yes,
happy as hell about
yes.
that. Chuck Norris, Lou Ferrigno, Danny Trejo, Corey Feldman. We got so many.
Corey Feldman?
Corey
Feldman, the voice of Donatello.
Corey Feldman, the man from Goonies, bro.
Goonies. Stand By Me. I love Lost Boys.
I gotta say those movies, but this shows my favorite movie.
No, he's right.
He's the voice of Donatello, so he's coming. There's like 26, 27 guests, you know, so... you're not going to go on Saturday and be able to meet 27 people.
No,
it's not going to happen.
It's not. No.
It has to be a multiple day thing. See when people are going to be there on Friday, see who you can get out of the way on Friday, you know, and you'll probably be able to enjoy some of the panels as well.
Exactly.
And the panels. So a panel, like we have a big main stage and the celebrities go up there and they talk about their life. They do performances, different things like that.
Right.
You know, so you can enjoy some of the other things that come with it. It's not just, you know, meeting celebrities. There's a huge vendor area, you know, with vendors from all over the U.S. Selling all kinds of cool collectibles and memorabilia and stuff.
Nice.
And then, you know, see who's there on Sunday. Kind of, obviously, Saturday, you prioritize the people who are only there Saturday.
Right.
And there's only, like, two, you know, so you can get them out of the way. But it's probably going to be some of the longest lines, you know, Chuck Norris.
Yes, exactly.
You know, pretty popular.
I know last year, Mr. Gentleman from Better Call Saul and also Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh my God, dude. I've gone back and watched that speech.
Dude, I got so motivated from that speech, dude.
Especially shit,
after the power outage and everything was through down. Yeah. Like, wow, dude.
Yes.
That was powerful, dude.
I mean, to hear him speak the way he did, at that point, I was like, man, I should have been there. I should have gone and hear the speech live.
I mean,
bro, that would be
worth the price of admission. If you go, you know, to anything like that, just that celebrity speaker, you're going to pay more than what the ticket is going to be at our Comic-Con. And you get all of that, you know, wrapped up into one, and you get to meet them, and there's 27 other guests there.
Yeah.
So I would suggest spread it out over 3 days if possible. I know people have lives and stuff, but you don't have to be there all day. You can go get some stuff, knock it out. You know, come back the next day, you know, and then...
And not only that, just because you go in, say you go early in the morning, right? And you talk, you know, it's a little bit packed, let's go ahead and take off and we'll come back later on.
Yeah.
And you can go back and forth as long as you have your ticket, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing. And the 3-day pass is not a bad idea because you can go on a Friday, catch the ones that are there, knock them out. And then Saturday, the ones they're only going to be there for the Saturday, knock them out. And then the ones you want to see on Sunday that you can catch on, get them on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, it's fun for the whole family, man. It's fun to go... Because you see, I got to see a couple of my friends from high school that they're all dressed up. I'm like, dude, I never knew you were into this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, man, I've always been into this kind of stuff. Wow, bro. Sailor Moon, really? But, you know.
Yes, Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon, really?
Yes,
that was true last year. So,
I was passing on that. I told you that.
You told us specifically. Yeah, whatever. But anyways.
You were the one wearing a mask here. Anyway.
But other than that, man, it's awesome, bro, because it's an experience that if you haven't gone to a con, it's an experience because it's crazy, man. It's fun. You may be going in there 20 miles per hour during the door, but you're going about 120.
Yeah.
Because everything's happening fast forward. I mean, there's something to see left and right. The vendors, crazy. It's a lot of great stuff to buy there.
Cosplayers,
also.
The costumes people build.
Yes.
I'd say, what, like 20% maybe of the people there are dressed up as superheroes and kind of stuff.
Not this time.
Not this
anime,
time.
All
so
these.
When you look at Chuck Norris in the eyes, dude.
Oh, no.
Stop.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you to Chuck Norris for doing the push up back in 2003 that made us miss the asteroid.
Save the world from the asteroid.
Give him a basket.
I'll take him over there and get him some official tacos from the valley, bro. But yeah.
Nah, he's not going to eat. He's greasy ass taco, John.
You don't know that, Randy.
I have dreams.
We have specific dreams, Randy.
That guy at what is he, like 89, 90?
Yeah. 89.
Works out harder than I've worked out in one day that I worked out in all my life.
I believe it.
You know?
Nobody's discussing about him kicking everyone's ass, Ramsey. We're talking about handing him some belly taco.
I want to see that one. I want to see that one fan that says, here's $500 on the table. Can you roundhouse kick?
Please,
roundhouse kick. And videotape the place.
No, oh run God. Me over with that truck from McQuaid.
Yes. Run me over with that truck. Oh, my gosh, man. So, I mean, Ramsey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man.
Yeah, thank you.
We're guys. An hour and 14 minutes. We can keep going, dude. But I know Ramsey got
to. We didn't even do our commercial.
That's con business after this, bro.
Yeah, I got bad practice after this.
Oh, man, we're going around.
I got up early. Got all my conferences out of the way for today.
Yeah, so Mike, if you're watching, start practice.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. They might cancel on me again, so we'll see.
We didn't even do our commercial, dude.
We didn't have time to come up. We have Ramsey on the podcast. What are you talking about, dude?
We're talking about
Tim. Any socials you want to put out there?
Yeah, social media. I mean, the main. If you guys want any other information, you want to check out who's coming. SouthTexasComicCon.com. It's our website. You can buy tickets on there. Like if you go on a Saturday and pay at the door, it's going to be like $45 to get in. Or right now, you can get a 3-day pass for $55.
Now.
You know,
do it now.
You can go at your leisure. You're not rushed. And then you know the biggest thing. Is there's a lot of things to do in the side rooms and everything like that that a lot of people get to miss because they're in line the whole time, you know?
Right.
So if you spread it out over 3 days, it's a lot easier. But yeah, SouthTexasComicCon.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever it's called. TikTok, all of those at I think it's either STX Comic Con or the whole thing spelled out if it allows it.
Nice.
Instagram, I think it's South Texas Comic Con.
There you go.
I don't know, we're all over the place, but yeah. Hit us up. You know, if you have you know, any loved ones who love Chuck Norris, hey, let them know. Let them know. This is their chance. Oh my God, did y'all see that video last year? Last time he came, we had him in 2022.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think a daughter was telling her mom, like, hey, guess who's coming to the Valley? Chuck Norris. She's like, no, don't tell me that. And then the daughter's like, it's on my wedding day. She's like, well, I'm not going. Stop that.
I know my sister-in-law, my wife, want to see the gentleman from Princess Bride.
Gary Elwes.
I really want to see him. It also came out in was it Psych? Was like the ultimate thief in Psych also, but it's one, and of course Kingpin himself also is another great.
Tony Todd from Candyman.
Yes.
He's also the voice of Venom from the Spider-Man video game. Final Destination, you know, horror royalty.
All of that for $55?
Luke Ferrigno.
Yeah.
And like I said, it costs nothing to go up and shake their hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing. You know, you just gotta wait in lines. That's right.
Exactly.
You know. You want to buy an autograph? Okay, yeah, they do charge for that. You want to take a photo?
Glasses.
Yeah, they do charge for that. We have professional photo ops, you know?
Remember his face around the week when he shows up. Take him out. Let's go.
Hey, but he brings up a good point. At some point, you know, everyone's glasses are going to have cameras on.
I'm going to do an imitation of Arnold Schwarzenegger from Puerto Rico.
What the fuck did I do last day? That's one for the books.
Speaking of which,
he's coming back.
Oh my God. $400,000 that I don't have. You know,
it's gonna be close though.
But
it's gonna be close.
It is Michael Bean.
Yes,
who was Kyle from Reese. Terminator, and he was also Ringo from Tombstone, and he was Lieutenant. Was it Corporal Hicks? Yeah, yeah. Corporal Hicks from Aliens.
Alien. Oh, okay.
So anyway, he was in Terminator.
Yeah,
and
man.
He shot at Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So how did it feel to shoot Arnold?
But yeah, no, he's Arnold Schwarzenegger will not be there. Maybe in spirit.
Or not. I would do that if
we'll do it. Yeah,
cut out next time.
There you go, man.
What's that right there? That would be awesome, just to cut out sitting down like that.
Go. Next to him, yeah.
$5 a photo.
But yeah, Rick, if you're into working out, bodybuilding. Like he's a legend. Yeah. Obviously, the Incredible Hulk from the TV show.
Yes.
You see the one where he threw the bear into the orbit?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was great.
It was amazing.
That was great.
That was the best episode.
That was
the most awesome, the most amazing episode was when he's running into the forest and you see the white plane feet underneath him and he's running away. Wait a minute, is he already changing back to film himself? But no, man. Yeah, that's it. I want to say thank you, man, for coming out and tuning the podcast, man. We finally got you here.
Yeah,
we're gonna try to make this a once a year thing before the cons, dude.
Because
I mean, like I said, I was telling him around here, we got a hold of Tony Daniels, which is another person that's coming down, guys. The
voice of Gambit,
the voice of
X-Men 97, and the original animated series.
Yes, yep.
I have not yet seen 97 yet.
Oh, dude,
you're missing out.
I didn't see it.
Clearly. Goes exactly the way it ended, bro. It's awesome, bro.
Except right for where it ended.
Right where it ended.
It's awesome.
But nice. We're going to have him on the 23rd of this month advertising the South Texas Comic Con also, and he will be in town, I believe, all 3 days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
correct?
Yes.
He'll be there all 3 days. So you guys get your Gambit stuff ready, bro. I believe he also did a little bit of a Wolverine at a time before the other gentleman took over. And voice of Tony Tiger also.
Bring Tony the Tiger.
Hell yeah. I mean, bring it on, dude. Bring it on. Come see these guys, man. It's going to be awesome. If
Gambit went, they're right.
That's great, yeah. But, yeah, man, not like I said, Rocky, thank you very much for coming in, man.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate everything you do for the RGB. It's bringing so much talent down so we can enjoy not only the little box that we live in, but see outside the box, say, hey, there's more stuff going on out there, and Rams bring it down. You know, it's awesome, man. You're doing great things, brother.
Thank you. And the reason we brought it down is because me and my friends weren't able to go to all these cons and the bigger cities. And we're there, like, let's try it here, see what happens. So, hopefully, you guys are having fun and drunk.
It's been working like gangbusters, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. All your success, man. And
from a young gentleman from Sullivan City, now look at him, bro. Yeah.
You better return a call next year, bro. I swear to God,
now I'm doing an alternate Sullivan City.
But you better return our calls.
Yeah,
of course. Getting personal now,
bro. You know how hard it is to get hold of him, bro. I mean, the guy is constantly busy.
I called him at 2 a.m. to come hang out. He didn't even pick up.
I will say, there's times, especially closer to the con, I don't even answer, man.
Yeah,
like I will not. Totally like, I have these days where I gotta get so much stuff done. I just put my phone away, and I'm like, I'm sorry. No, I wasn't full at that point, but...
Voicemail.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Hello?
No, he just...
Leave me alone. Crash trap.
He just answered long enough to say, voicemail.
If you got money, we can talk. Not, I'll put you on voicemail.
You can't afford my cardboard cutout. Forget it.
No, on the weekends, I know you're trying to like cut me off, but I don't
no,
know.
No.
Actually, you're going to do this in the fridge. Yeah. You know,
I got muffins in the fridge.
You don't want to see me working.
We got badass liquor, too.
What I want to ask is, do you plan on putting adding more flavors to those baked potato chips that you sell at the store?
Oh, more flavors, like the Japanese ones, or which ones?
Yeah,
Japanese. So, they're kind of seasonal.
Oh, really?
So kind of they change out every kind of season. But I mean, we get every flavor we possibly can.
That's good.
So that's a no.
They're like Japanese, like in Japan. You get all these wild flavors
of
chips, and we have them at our stores Anime Boom, especially. Here in West Coast has it.
Yeah.
And there's some wild, crazy Lay's flavors.
Okay.
And stuff that you'll never see here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, they're
seasonal. What kind of beer was in the fridge?
We got Bud Light in the fridge.
Oh, damn.
Future sponsors? No, I'm joking. Shout out to all our sponsors, by the way, guys. Thank you for holding us a construction LLC. Buzz Bull Creamery, which is actually right down close to you down here. Right next door.
It's like right next door.
Ice
cream, man.
It'll change your worker infused ice cream.
What?
Yes.
What?
Oh, damn.
So you haven't did? Go get one right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to come right back here and sleep here. Like, I ain't driving home drunk.
We'll leave the key under the mat.
I'm ready to get three of those for sure.
Yeah, it is good, man.
No, you got to check that out, man.
Cool.
Also, other sponsors, the Rabbit Hole up in Palm View, man, for your adult pleasures. You want to give them a call. They're closing the door soon, guys, so get all the 50% off as much as you can.
Get over there, get as much clearance stuff as you can get.
Oh, my God.
It's almost gone.
And fortunately, we got one more person here, Mark Velasquez and Chus and La Coma. You know what? We're going to bring you back, bro.
Sounds good. Ven pa acá. Sell it to our faces. Andale.
But we have to get him a high chair so he can actually listen to us in the face. Yeah. But you know,
he's just going to blind me with his ball. Anyway. Sorry,
another great episode, by the way.
Wow.
But now we're like I said, man, I'm gonna shut it down because we can literally go all night talking, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll never shut up.
I appreciate you, man, coming out, man.
Thank you so much, man.
You're more than welcome to come back on the podcast. Anything that's coming up, which is the Gamer Expo, anything you're going to release, let us know. We're glad to have you on here
to promote
it, man. And I mean, nothing but love for you, bro. You're doing a great job.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Keep going, man. Keep going. And give me a discount on the comic book. But anyways, guys,
Let me put this on
Quinn, so you can maybe might just happen. Go ahead, Quinn. It's all you.
Okay.
So what I wanted to say, buddy.
So Ramses.
Don't dance at the park.
Hit him. You got to mask up the
This gentleman, Ramsey, was showing us footage of what goes on in the Westlake Kaboom Comics store. And there is orbs. There is some crazy ass. You got to see it. Look at this movement. And you can look it up on Facebook.
Yeah. Go to Facebook. Look up Kaboom Orbs. And it's one of the first videos that pops up
there.
It happened when we first moved into that store, and nothing else weird has happened other than our motion sensors went off, and I got notifications. I was like, "What's happening?"
That is not dust.
Yeah.
That is not dust.
There's some weird
thing. It is moving around like, "Hey, look at me," kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, seriously, dude.
It's wild.
Watch. Be ready.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we have time to go visit that place over there. You know, I know the camera's going to be up on for red on us. And I didn't watch everything they touch. Why am I missing the red thumb Skywalker helmet? Why am I going to do it? Why am I on
the list?
Mark, why are you wearing that Skywalker helmet? It helps me think, all right? Leave me alone. I've got to stay focused. I have the course.
It was worth it.
Oh, man. No, guys, appreciate you coming out, man. And we will bring you back again to announce more stuff that's coming our way. And thank you again, Ramsey. A big shout out to you, man. Appreciate you guys. Guys, tune in next week on Thursday. We have Lauren Mary Kim coming on the podcast.
Oh, cool.
We'll have her on here. Trust me, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And this week, actually, Saturday, I will be at Press Start Game in Edinburgh to interview Stephanie Mignoldi. Yeah, the voice of Kid Gohan and Kid Goku. So I'll be out there. Try to go live so you guys can watch that. Head out there. Come and get some audio. Come enjoy the fun. But I think we are done for the night, man.
That's it, dude.
Any last words for you two?
I was thinking about earlier that we're going to be like in Goodfellas. That fucking helicopter's been firing us all day.
Don't trigger me.
Maybe. Anyways, guys, thank you for watching. Tune in next week at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday night. We have another podcast for you, number That will actually Saturday will be one episode 190.
190.
What are you doing when you guys are saying, because I've jumped on when you hit 200?
Oh, you're not going to hear. No, I'm joking.
It's going to get real.
I won't be here for 200. Oh, wait, that would be right around the convention. Or we'll be
out. No, it's probably going to be till next month. We might bring Ramsey back.
I'm sorry, Ramsey, we're booked.
Ramsey, we're booked. I'm sorry. This is the correct way. If you reach out to us exactly at this day, at this time, All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. We had so much fun tonight, man. We will see you next week. Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen,
peace out.